We're in a series right now called It Is Written. The Lord has given us His Word so that we could know the truth. His Word is the final authority on truth. It's the final authority on right and wrong. It's the final authority on God Himself. We talked about how that the Word is our standard and guide. It shows us how we're supposed to live and how we can navigate safely through this life. It is written that we might believe. Every word of God should be something that we embrace with our heart, that we fully believe. And here's the thing, if we really believe, it will change how we live. If we really believe the Word of God, then we will obey the Word of God. To be a believer is more than just to believe in the existence of God. No, to be a true believer is to believe to the point that we put our trust in Him. We rely upon Him totally and completely. And when we do that, we will obey God. If we don't do that, if we're not really obeying God, well, we have a dead faith. You know how I know that? Because the Bible tells me so. In James 2:19 through 21, He says, "You believe there's one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble." Do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? In other words, our life has to back up what we profess to believe. If we just say we believe this and we believe that, we can say, well, I believe in God. But do we truly put our trust in Him? Do we believe in Him to the point that it changes our life, that we're really living according to His Word and what He says? A real and living faith is always evidenced in our life by the way that we live, by the things that we do. He gives the example of verse 21. He says, "Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar?" Now, some people get really confused about this because we say, well, but we're justified, we're made righteous by faith. Yes. Was Abraham justified by works? Yes. It goes together. Listen, a faith that has no works, we just read it, it's a dead faith. It's not real faith. No, our faith has to have action with it. There has to be those works, that obedience that follows. You see, Abraham was righteous by faith. We know that. The Bible says it very clearly. But it also tells us, you see, that it was evidenced by the things that he did, by his work. And what was that? The Lord told him to take his only son, Isaac, and to sacrifice him on an altar. The unthinkable. And Abraham was willing and obedient. How could he? Because so great was his faith in God that he trusted God, that even if he did what the Lord said, he believed God would just raise him from the dead. That was the depth of his faith. And here's the thing, because Abraham believed and obeyed God, he was so blessed, the Lord said the whole world was going to be blessed through him. Amen. And we still are. I just want you to understand that it was because that he believed God enough that he would obey God, and it brought great blessing on his life. And we see this over and over. You know, when we need a miracle, we can't ever earn a miracle from God. He will never owe us, no matter what we do or don't do. It is by faith we believe for those miracles. But understand this, that a lot of the time, there's a simple act of obedience that goes with our faith. Like when Jesus tells a blind man, go wash in the pool of Siloam. What if he said, hey, I'm blind. What do you expect from me? How about the man with the withered hand? He said, stretch forth your hand. What if the man said, oh, no, I don't want everybody to see? Oh, he just stretched forth his hand and Jesus healed him. And I'm just telling you that so much of the time, you see, our faith is evidenced by our willingness to obey God. And so is our unbelief when we disobey God. You know, the Lord told Noah, go build this ark, prepare for this great flood that's coming. What if old Noah just said, well, I believe there's a flood coming, but you know, that ark, that sounds like a lot of work. I don't know if that's really necessary. God can save us another way. No, he believed what God said and he obeyed God. What about the children of Israel when they come to that great walled city of Jericho and the Lord tells them, now you march around the city and give a shout and the walls are going to come down and you're going to go straight in and have great victory. But they said, well, now wait a minute, we're just going to get tired of all that marching around. Wouldn't it be better if we just went straight in and attacked them, you know, while we're still fresh? Why march around all that time? I want you to know this is exactly the way a lot of people do the Lord today. Right. We got it some way figured out. Well, God, the word says this, but you know, I got this figured out. This sounds better to me, makes better sense to me. I'm telling you, when we really believe God, we just do what God says. And it brings blessing. It brings victory in our life. Jesus, he did miracles when people believed, but we need to always remember this, that it's important that we follow through and obey God. When it comes to our daily life, we don't just live from miracle to miracle. You hear what I'm saying? I mean, yes, it's wonderful when God does a miracle, and God does miracles, but we don't have miracles every moment, every day, just all the time throughout our days. That's not how it works. But here's the thing. We're supposed to live in the blessings of the Lord. This is something we should be living in every day of our life, just living in the blessing of God. And how does that come? It comes as we obey the Lord. I want you to know that the Father, he really loves you. Every one of us, he really loves us. He gave his own son for us. How will he not also along with him freely give us all things? Yes, he really loves you. But you need to know this. He will not bless disobedience. I hope that none of you parents reward your child when they disobey. You're just creating trouble for a bunch of other people. No, we don't do that. And neither does our Father reward disobedience. Right. And we need to address this morning and deal with this with honest and open hearts, because I got to tell you, there's a lot of stuff going on in the church in America that shouldn't be going on. And when I say the church, I'm talking about in people's lives. We need to get this right, that if we want the blessing of God on our life every day, then we need to live in obedience, and it brings the blessing of God. Isaiah 1:19, the Lord says, if you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. What a great promise that God promises. If we're willing to obey, you're going to enjoy the very best. You're going to enjoy God's goodness on your life each and every day. Now, if you read that whole passage, you see that, well, it didn't go so well for those who were not willing to obey. But sometimes people have the attitude that, well, there's some people that are blessed and some are not, and there's just randomly chosen somehow. This one's blessed and this one's not, and just the way it is. And I want you to know that is not what the scripture teaches at all. We are blessed because we hear the word of God and keep it. Some of you are thinking, I don't know if that's right. Don't take my word for it. Just take Jesus' word for it. You're blessed when you hear the word of God and keep it. Luke 11, 27 and 28, it happened as he spoke these things that a certain woman from the crowd raised her voice and said to him, "Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breast which nursed you." Was Mary blessed? Yes. But he said, more than that, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. You see, some might say, well, Mary, you know, she was just chosen. She was just blessed. But here's the thing. This is available to every one of us. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. This is the words of our Savior. We need to realize, oh, blessings are available to us, but we have to have a willing and obedient heart. Some people think that obedience and all that, well, that's just under the Old Testament law. I tell you, Jesus is giving us a timeless principle when he tells us that if we hear the word and we keep it, we're going to be blessed. It's strange how obedience has been cast as something that's optional today when it is an integral part of the gospel. A gospel that doesn't include obedience is not real. It's not life-changing. It's phony and shallow. Listen carefully to the Great Commission from Jesus after the resurrection, by the way. For some of you that struggle with some of the teachings of Jesus and want to put it under the old covenant, this is after the resurrection, and Jesus says, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." I just want to be an obedient servant today. I'm telling you, we have an obligation. It's not an option. We have an obligation not only to do it ourselves, but to teach that they have to obey everything that Jesus commanded. No more phony stuff. We got to follow his teachings and teach it to other people. He says, everything that I have commanded you. I don't know if that couldn't be much clearer. Too many say they believe, but their lives are unchanged. That is exactly what James was talking about when he said, even the demons believe and tremble. I want to go back to the book of James, to chapter 1. And we talked about this passage briefly a couple of weeks ago, but I want us to take a closer look at it this morning. I believe it's going to help us to gain greater freedom in our obedience to the Lord. James chapter 1, I'm going to read 1 through 25, and then we'll work our way through it. He says, "Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and the overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. He observes himself and goes away and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does." So I'm going to give you 5 points quickly. First, we have to separate ourselves from the filth of this world. We can't live like the world and really serve God and be obedient to him. And we need to know this. Jesus makes it very clear that we're not supposed to be like the world anymore. We're supposed to be the salt of the earth, the light of the world. We're supposed to be different from the world. And so James here, he says, first of all, you got to get rid of all that filth. We need to separate ourselves. We're supposed to be God's holy people. Second, we got to receive the word with meekness, humility. Got to be willing to change. Sometimes, you know, that religious pride can be the very worst kind of pride. But sometimes it can be hard for us to really humble ourselves and say, you know what, I've been wrong. You know what, I've allowed this in my life, or I haven't followed through with this, and I need to change. We got to humbly, with meekness, accept the word of God, be teachable. Third, this is where it really gets tough. We have to do it. But be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Here's the key to blessings on your life. It's doing the word. We'll come back to that again a little bit later, but I want to point out to you that it says that when we don't do it, we deceive ourselves. It's one thing when somebody else fools you. I've been fooled a few times, really bad. But what's worse is when we fool ourselves. And any time that we're not obeying the word of the Lord, we're just fooling ourselves. You know, usually when people are disobeying God, there's something in their thinking that's just not right. They're deceived. They're deceiving themselves. They think their situation is different, that somehow the rules, and I'm not talking about the rules of man, the rules of God's word don't apply to them. We live in this society where everybody is so good at making excuses for things. We learn it early, right? I mean, I don't know about you, but when I was in elementary school, I was an expert at making excuses of why I didn't have my homework done. We learn early. But let me tell you about one guy who decided he should go on a diet. And he had friends, he knew people that had had great success with this diet. And so he thought, well, you know what, I'm going to do this too. It worked for them, and, you know, it worked for me. But he thought, well, you know, I got to make a few adjustments to the rules, you know, just to fit me, to adapt it to myself. And so these were a few of his rules that he came up with. First, he said, if you drink a diet soda and eat a candy bar, they cancel each other out, right? Some of you have tried this diet. You live by it, right? Second, if you have a strong craving for a particular food like chocolate or, of course, Mexican food, right? Well, that's okay because, you know, that's a desire that God gave you. So, you know. Third, if you see slim people eating it, well, it must be okay. It must be one of those superfoods or something. It's okay to eat it because, hey, there's somebody that's slim that's eating it. Fourth, cookie pieces contain no significant calories because cookie breakage leads to calorie leakage. And so in each little piece of cookie, there's virtually no calories, so you can eat as many little pieces as you want. And fifth and best of all, his rule was, after being good for several hours, you deserve a treat, like a pie or a cake or a cow. The amazing thing is that then he doesn't understand why it didn't work for him. And he decides, well, it's just bad genes. Life's just not fair. Sounds like the way we treat the principles of Scripture sometime. A diet soda and a candy bar cancel each other out. Well, I did something wrong, but I did something right. Some people play this game with their offering. Well, I did something wrong, so I'm going to put in a big offering this week. Put the big offering in anyway, all right? But that doesn't cancel out doing something wrong. Well, I was mean to this person, but I was nice to this person. I'm just telling you, we can play this game where we think that somehow, well, I did something bad, but I did something good, or I didn't do what I was supposed to do, but I did over here. And we end up not really obeying God. Next, God gave me this desire. It's amazing how people in this world will actually use this this line of thinking. God gave me this desire, so he understands. It must be okay, because God gave me this desire. It's amazing how people come up with a reason to disobey God. We say that the slim people eat it, it must be okay. Well, everybody else is doing it. I mean, I know this person, you know, they're a big shot at church and they did this, so it must be okay. Mm-hmm. Cookie pieces, they're so small, they're insignificant. How's that go? Little sins. We don't commit any big sins. It's just little things, you know. They call it a little white lie. We say, well, it's just, you know, so I gossiped. Big deal. It's not like I'm the one that committed adultery. I'm just the one that talked about it. Little things. Little. And last, well, I've been good for a whole week. I haven't lost my temper one time. So I get a pass to let somebody have it because I've been good for a while. Here's the issue, that when it's all said and done, how is it that we are surprised that it's not really working for us? How is it that we're surprised when we're not really experiencing the blessings of God like we would desire to, when we know that we're not really obeying God in some areas of our life? And whether we say it's a little thing or whatever excuse we make, we need to deal with the real issue. It's amazing how we invent ways to get around obeying the Word of God. But the result is it keeps us from a blessing. Next, we have to continue in it. We have to remember it. Verse 23, he says, for if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. He observes himself and goes away and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. See, we have to remember. We shouldn't just forget what we heard. We have to keep it before us. Keep the word of God before us. It seems like, you know, a lot of the time we hear it and then we just go on our way and we let it slip away. No, we have to hang on to that word. Keep it before you. Continue therein. It's not enough to just hear it and let it go. No, we got to keep it before us so that we'll learn to live it out and walk in it in our life. At last, he says, but who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it? He's not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This one will be blessed in what he does. I want you to notice he says we're supposed to look intently. He uses this illustration of the word being like a mirror. First of all, I want to tell you, the word will show you who you are. But it also will show you who you're supposed to be. And the more that we look in the Word, the more that we allow it to change us. We allow it to show us what's not right, where we're not obeying God. And when we end up obeying God and fully obeying Him, then He says, this one will be blessed. I know. I know the religious culture of the day says it's no big deal. But the truth is, it's a big deal to God because it's a matter of the heart. And He wants all our heart. The Lord is so merciful and gracious. But we need to do away with the deception that it doesn't matter, that His commands are optional somehow. I tell you, He blesses us when we obey. Here are the words of Jesus from Luke 6:46. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do the things I say? Why do you call me Lord? This has been going on a really long time, hadn't it? Making Jesus the Lord of your life means that we submit to His authority to do what He says. We pray for His kingdom to come. And people always want to see the kingdom of God manifest in earthly government. You know, in Jesus' ministry, there was a time when the people wanted to take Him and make Him their king, their earthly king. He left. He would have no part of it. And still today, it seems like people want to see the kingdom of God in an earthly government. I want to tell you, that's not how it comes. There's a day coming. One day he will come and he will rule 1,000 years. That day will come. But for now, the way the kingdom comes, Jesus says, the kingdom is within you. The only way the kingdom comes is he comes and he rules and reigns in our heart personally. Each and every one of us. That's the only way the kingdom comes, in our heart. And when we truly humble ourselves, we bow the knee to Jesus and we make him our king. We can honestly from the heart call him Lord. That means that we're going to obey him. But somehow, it seems like a lot of the time, we end up pointing the finger at the lost or the backslidden. And somehow it seems to make us feel a little better if we're not really obeying God fully. If we find somebody else who's worse than us. But church, we got to be the example to this world. And don't think that they don't see and don't know when we're not really living the way Jesus wants us to. Church, we are the ones who have made him King and Lord, and we need to be obedient to him. And I said this a moment ago, it's so important. Obedience is a heart issue. Jesus' teaching, he always deals with the heart, not just the outside, but what's going on in our heart. And here's the thing. You know what? You can be religious and you can force yourself to do the right thing and your heart still not be right. But you can't disobey Jesus and your heart be right. If there's disobedience in our life, we need to get our heart right. It is a heart issue, and Jesus wants us to love him with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. It's a deception when people say that they love Jesus, but they're not obeying him. As Jesus says in John 14, 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. And I believe he says to us this morning, if you love me, keep my commandments. And 14:21, he says, he who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. There's a lot of people in this world that want to say they love Jesus, but they're not obeying him. Or they obey him cafeteria style. They'll obey him in this, but not in that. Or they obey him when it's convenient, when it suits them. Some of the time, I want to tell you they don't really love him. Because if you really love him, he says, you know the one that loves me because he obeys me. It's not an option. You see, if we want to live in the blessings of God every day, we need to be obeying the Lord. You know, some people, this is part of the issue, is they got a strange definition of what it means to love Jesus. The truth is they like Jesus. They think Jesus is cool. You know, Jesus is really nice. Jesus is great. But if they don't obey him, they don't love him. They might be a fan of Jesus, but they're not a true follower of Jesus. And listen to this from John 14, 23 and 24. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him. And we will come to him and make our home with him. Now, I want you to understand something. Your Father loves you. Our Heavenly Father, he loves us so much, he gave his Son for us. But Jesus is talking about an experiential love here. He says, my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. I want to tell you, this is greater than any blessing in this world you could ever have. Oh, to be blessed with the presence of God, that He is with you, that He makes His home with you. That overwhelms anything else this world could ever offer you. What a great blessing. And how does this come? If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him. We will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me. You see, obedience is so important to Jesus. There's a lot of people that, you know, they call Jesus their friend, but Jesus doesn't call them his friend. In John 15, 14, he says, "You are my friends if you do whatever I command you." These verses I'm sharing with you today from the book of John, a lot of people and a lot of preachers just kind of leave these out because it demands our heart. We can't pretend. If we're not really being obedient to Jesus, we need to make it right in our heart. It's got to be real. 1 John 3:18, "My little children, let us not love in word or tongue, but in deed and in truth." It's not something that we just say. It's not just a nice idea. We make it real by living it out. It's in our actions. We do what it says, what His word says. We live to please Him. I know sometimes some of the commands of the Lord can really be difficult in a way. You know, when somebody has really wronged you, sometimes it can be hard to forgive. And sometimes, you know, when some mean person comes across your path and you just want to be mean back, you know, dispense a little justice. Anybody ever? Just me. It can be hard. But here's what makes it so much easier. I do it for you, Jesus. I do it for you. They don't deserve it, Lord. I do it for you. How do you love your enemies? I do it for Jesus. I just do it for Him. 1 John 5:3, "This is the love of God, that we keep His commandments." You want to show God your love, you keep His commandments. And His commandments are not burdensome. Because here's the thing. They bring us freedom. They bring us blessing and victory. But most of all, we do it for Him. We love Him. Jesus said, "Greater love has no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends." And that is exactly what He did for us. How could we not be willing to do the same for Him? To lay down our life for Jesus. To obey Him fully as the best of our ability in everything. And I want you to know, I know that we all mess up. We all make mistakes. I am so thankful that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And you know what? I personally believe that we need that every day, because we all mess up, even when we don't know it. None of us has arrived. None of us is perfect. But we need to deal with the heart issue here today, that if there are things in our life that are not right, if there are things that we should be doing that we're not doing, we need to make it right with Jesus today and truly bow the knee to Him and let Him have His way in our life, that we obey Him in all things. And I want to tell you, we will have a great impact on this world, but I also want you to know that there's a richness of the blessings of God on our life when we fully obey Him. I mean, not only His written word, but day by day in our life. What if we just speak when he tells us to speak? What if we just reach out to someone when he tells us to? What if we just give when he tells us to? What if we just decide we're going to get involved when he tells us to? You see, if we just obey him, I want to tell you, we are in for so many blessings, seeing God move and God work like never before. Stand with me. We're going to pray. I want our prayer partners to come.